There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am, but Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the next Kitchen Garden podcast. It's pouring rain outside, so we've decided to do what our equivalent of what most people do on the plot, which is sort of go into the shed. We've decided to come indoors and do a podcast. So I'm here with Emma and Tony. Hi, guys.
Hello.
Hiya.
And we thought we'd chat about what you can do in November, apart from hide in the shed from the rain. So, have you been busy? I can't say I've been very busy in the garden, apart from I've got rid of my tomatoes. Can't believe how quickly the tomato season's gone this year. And it seemed like I was...
See, mine's still going, actually.
Oh, still going? Oh, yeah. Show off.
Yeah. Well, I'll ripen, but they're still there. I've still got a few fruits coming and turning colour.
Oh, wow. Well,
I think I've got most of mine picked out from the polytunnel, but these indigo rose ones... have been growing outside, and they've been black and rock hard for about months and months and months. They're finally coming to maturity, and you can tell because they start to turn from black with a bit of tinge of red. They're very attractive, but because we've had no real frost, they're still there.
Oh, and no blight outside.
No blight. But I've got some cherries. Tomatoes they've gone, but these, I say, they've been rock hard probably from about June onwards, and they're, what is it now, nearly November, and they're finally edible. Some have gone over, but these and some are still rock hard, but I should have grown them in the polytunnel, really. I had some over, so I thought, oh, I'll put them outside and see how they do.
And what do you think of them now you've tried them?
They're okay. I mean, I'm you know, I do like cherry tomatoes, so you know, but they're juicy, yeah. But yeah. They're not as sweet as cherries, and you know, obviously, I prefer those. But yeah, they're okay.
Okay. Yeah. I grew some in the green in the polytunnel, and like you say, they just seem to take forever to ripen. I kept trying them. I thought, well, they're right, but they weren't.
I grew that one as well. It's the black one. What I can't remember what was the name of it now. The name escapes me. It wasn't Indigo Rose. It was another one.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah. I've forgotten the name as well.
But forgotten the name as well.
It seems to. What if it's all black tomatoes? That they are all, the skins are tough, and genetically they seem to be quite tough. And it's very hard to tell when they're ripe. You do get that bit of a redness, don't you?
That's the telltale sign, I think, that they're approaching ripeness.
It throws you a bit.
I mean, I found the skins tough, and just even the inside of the really quite tough, really.
Because the one we grew in was supposed to be sweeter than Sun Gold.
No, I'd never say that at all. The moon glow that I grew was lovely. The one that you gave me some seeds of, and actually you grew a couple of plants for me. Now I've saved some more seeds of that because that's one you can save seeds from, and I've got a couple of other ones that I can save seeds from, and that I've liked, and I think that's the way forward. I think because I'm going to save, you know,
paid more.
You can do that, can't you, if they're not F1s.
Because we were only saying the other day, weren't we, about how expensive veg seed is now, and really got to double up on saving our own.
Yeah.
Mind you, aren't blooming tomato seeds difficult to... I mean, I extracted some the other day, and I know there's a way you can put them in like a jam jar of water and stuff, but I haven't got the patience for that. So I got, I know I don't want too many, so I just pulled them out and then I just rubbed them between some kitchen paper.
Yeah.
But it's all horrible and slimy. You have to use several bits of paper before you can actually get them get them clean. It's like really quite, they're quite difficult to clean up, aren't they, tomatoes?
Yeah.
Oh, I do the whole put them in water and stir them for a week and then get them on the paper. And it does work, but it does take a while.
No, you see, I did that. I did that once, and I poured them onto the paper, and I left them on the windowsill, and they stuck to the paper like glue. You could not get them off. The only way you'd ever sow them would be with a little piece of kitchen paper with the seed. So you'd have to sow the seed with kitchen paper because I couldn't get them off.
No, it's exactly what happened to me, actually, now I think about it. You almost see it, you end up sowing a stamp, don't you?
Yeah.
I've still got some broad beans growing. These are the, so I pronounce it right, Luz Dutona.
I know the one.
But the ones I can't say, anyway. Autumn Light, I believe they're called in English. But they were doing all right till we've had all this rain. They're flat, you know, because you sow them in August and then they mature by November. And we've got some bean pods and so on. But that blasted rain the other day has kind of flattened them. You know, that torrential rain we had for, you know all about it, Emma, don't you?
Yeah.
All that rain we had.
Yes, I got a little bit wet.
I mean, I've got to go out and pick some, but it was a shame really because they were doing quite well. Don't usually pick.
So have the plants fallen over then? Is that what you mean?
They were quite close together, but you know, I probably could have supported them better. But I thought it took me by surprise really. I was away, so when I came back, the rain had kind of bashed them all over the place. But they flowered quite nicely. And I thought, I'll have some nice broad beans in November, which I will have, but not quite as many as I was hoping. But, you know, they are, if you sow in August, which you don't normally do for broad beans, and you get them for November,
that's quite a good variety, isn't it?
Yeah, quite good.
Yeah, so, I suppose that brings us on to one of our November jobs. I mean, will you be sowing some?
You can sow some now,
Pretty awesome.
I don't know. It's I have done in the past sown broad beans, and sometimes they've done really well. But I think last year the cold weather just really killed them off. And I know they're pretty hardy, and even the ones in the polytunnel didn't do that well. So this year I just did them in spring, and they were fine. So I'm probably just going to do spring sowing. But it depends, doesn't it? Sometimes on the depends on the weather in the winter, doesn't it?
Yeah. Well, I was working on the theory that if I sow some in the autumn in the polytunnel, by watering them regularly, I'd keep the soil in the polytunnel nice and moist rather than drying out, and gets a bit like a dust bowl if I don't grow anything, and then I can't re-wet it again in the spring.
Yeah, it's
quite difficult. So I thought for no other reason, I'll stick some in and see, just to keep the soil. Busy, if you like, I suppose, in the polytunnel. Sown a few lettuces, which are just through, so I'll be able to plant those. Last year I planted them end of October, beginning of November. They just sat there, didn't grow very much. But then come the spring, they were quite good. So some hardy lettuces, so I should be growing those this November, and again that in the polytunnel just keeps the soil ticking over and doing something, and keep an excuse to water it. Let's do that.
I mean, you saying that last year, I think it was springtime the previous year, I'd just grown tomatoes in self-watering pots, so the soil in the polytunnel didn't have any real water. landing on it. And when I came to plant it in the springtime, it was absolutely rock hard. I had to get a pickaxe to break it up. It was that hard. I couldn't believe it.
You need a polytunnel that'll fold back, don't you? That you can,
so
you can get the rain to get to it. Leave it for the winter, then it, you know, pull it back up again.
Yeah, true.
Any polytunnel companies are listening, that's my idea, and you owe your fortune.
You could just do it putting like sort of guttering on it along the side, couldn't you? Just feeding it into the polytunnel soil, really. Winter.
Yeah, that's right. But trickle hose or something, drip
inside,
just to keep emptying the water bottles to it all the time.
Garlic, but so a bit plants garlic.
Well, you are the garlic king, Tony. You've got a very nice feature in the November issue, if you don't mind me saying.
Right, how much so are you? Yeah, I've got a couple. I usually plant some garlic each year. I just like growing it. So I've got a new variety called, don't know how you pronounce it. It's either Garcua or Garcua. It's probably Garcua.
You do like to pick varieties you can't pronounce, don't you?
That's right. and Lautrec. I think that's about more or less right. One's a soft neck and one's a hard neck. So. Yeah, I usually grow enough just to keep us through the summer and a bit of the winter. Sorry, most of the autumn and the winter. Sorry, no, start again. Summer and autumn and some over the winter as well. So I've got two, but these are starting to sprout already, so I think I need to get them in the ground soon. But it's so wet, isn't it? So soggy.
Yeah. Maybe it'd be better putting them in pots, would you?
Yeah, could do. Yeah.
It stays too wet.
Yeah.
Where do you normally put them outside? Don't put them in a polytunnel.
No, I've usually just grow them outside. They've been usually fine.
Yeah.
They seem to, they like it a bit cold, don't they? So it's fine usually.
Yeah. I've done pretty well with chilies this year. So I've spent a bit of time. And if you're just listening to the audio on this, this won't do you any good at all. But I've got a bag of chilies here and I've tried drying them this year. I put them in a.
Oh, have you? Yeah.
The word has disappeared. But the thing that you dry things in.
Dehydrator,
that's the thing. Thank you very much. It's my age, you know. The dry-y thing. They've dried out quite well. So I've got quite a nice bag of chili. So I'm going to.
They look great.
Wazz those up, as Jamie Oliver might say. I don't know, maybe he wouldn't. I make some chili flakes out of them.
Yeah, what variety are these?
A real mixture. They're a real mixture. In fact, these ones I saved the seeds from, so I'm not entirely sure now.
They're quite big and chocolatey coloured.
Yeah, for those of you with the vision on, you might be able to see it. But I've actually no idea what variety they are, but. They're not very hot, they're just sort of a medium heat, but I'm hoping I'll make some nice chili flakes. But I still haven't planted my onions are still in bags, which is absolute disgrace, isn't it, really? I must get out and, but I'm growing mine in pots this year, my onions.
Oh right, okay.
Starting them off in pots, or putting them in a big pot and putting several in one big pot?
Several in one big pot, because what I've done is I've saved my pots that I grew my cucumbers in this year, so they're quite, they're not buckets, but they're those pots where you get a handle on each side. They were meant for like shrubs, really, I suppose.
Yeah.
So they're quite big, and I grew cucumbers in those this year, and I'm going to grow and a few other things. What else did I grow? Oh, I'll give some potatoes in one as well. And I saved that, rather than throw it away, I've saved the compost and I'm going to freshen it up a bit, put a little bit of fertilizer in it, and then put my onions on top. Give that a go. Got some red ones as well. Good old electric.
Yeah, I'll put some of those in actually, electric.
Yeah. So I've got those to do. And I've got a little, while we're here, a little bird. It's not a bird's eye chili. It's one called, I don't know if you can see, it's a little tiny red chili.
Oh, that's nice.
called Tepin.
What's it called?
Tepin. Apparently Tepin. It's about as close as you can get to a wild chili.
Yeah.
No, it's supposed to be quite
the
hot.
Branches are quite strong, aren't they? And it's a chirpy little thing, isn't it? It's very upright.
Yeah,
little red berries with a few green, yeah. Nice.
I'll try cutting it back and seeing if it'll overwinter. Mm. I've just noticed it's got plenty of green fly, but it doesn't seem to be.
It's hard overwintering them, isn't it?
Yeah.
Like you do get covered in green fly and just... Have you ever managed it, Tony? Because I think you've tried, haven't you?
I'm not very good. I've tried. I think I might have got one through the winter. But you're right, you get a load of green fly. And
You're better off starting fresh, I think, don't you?
Yeah.
The instinct is to cut them back and then they just seem to die back.
That's it, don't they?
Probably just not got any warm enough. I suppose if you had a nice heated greenhouse through the winter, you'd be all right, wouldn't you?
Yeah, maybe. Maybe in a conservatory, you'd perhaps get away with it and slightly heated.
Yeah, it might do. Yeah.
Have you got any plans over autumn, winter, Emma, with your big patch?
Because I've got a fairly new patch, I've really just haven't done a lot on the actual ground outside, but the ground's a bit clear now. I'm trying to create the beds, but I discovered that underneath the end of it, quite a large piece of the end of it, has actually got hardcore underneath. I think the drive extends underneath further than I thought, and it's all been covered over by a bit of soil. So there's about 3 or 4 inches of soil only, and then it goes down to hardcore. So I thought that end, what I might do is just pile.
In the market for investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry, Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale platform where each piece is carefully inspected by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. Use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Louis Vuitton, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com and get up to 15% off your first purchase as a member with code REBAGNEW. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's REBAG.com. And use promo code REBAGNEW for up to 15% off your first purchase as a member.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Loads of manure on it and just kind of create beds, higher beds. It's almost like lazy beds. So at least they've got a bit of depth to them. Yeah. And then I can try and just grow shallow stuff there, perhaps in that area. And then when you get further in, I'll put some paths across, and then once I get beyond that bit, it's deeper. I can then put other stuff in there. So I'm just going to have to work with what I've got. I think you have to work with what you've got, don't you?
You do, yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
And that's my plan.
Are you going to do no dig? Or?
Yeah, I think so. I'm going to literally... Yeah. It has actually been sort of cleared, but no, that's not true. I am going to do no dig, but I'm going to do dig first. but basically, it's absolutely covered in nettles. I am systematically going to go over it and dig out the nettle, as much nettle root as I can. Mm. And then I'm going to pile it up with some manure and stuff.
Yeah.
And hopefully from then on it will be no dig. But I'd be quite good to put. You could put cardboard on it, but I'd start from. But I haven't got enough cardboard, and you need a lot of cardboard when you're doing that sort of thing. So I think it's kind of a bit of both, really. So as I say, probably dig it first to clear it and then start to do it as an no-dig going forward, maybe. Sort of, yeah. It's a bit of an adaption.
Yeah. Well, like you say, you have to work with what you've got, don't you? Do the best you can with what you've got.
I mean, you know, there's no rule, is there, for one thing? Oh, you know, you must do it this way, you must do it that way. You can, you know, you can try different things and see what works, can't you? And some things will and some things won't. And then adapt as you go, really. Because until you, when you take on a new plot or you do start a new plot, you've got no idea how it's going to respond in terms of growing what you can grow and all the rest of it. So it's all a learning curve, isn't it? Really?
Definitely, yeah. Yeah.
I suppose that would be an ideal place for raised beds, wouldn't it? But then you've
got... Yeah, I mean, that's the other option, putting raised beds on it. But, you know, I don't want to fork out a fortune for raised beds. But I will be doing raised beds, if you like, but I'm just going to mound up the soil. So it's kind of just a bit like...
Without the wooden surrounds.
Like, without the wooden sides, yeah. Well, I'd call it French beds. So, because, you know, it's expensive when you're trying to... You know, especially these at the moment, wood is very expensive, isn't it? You know, to actually make raised beds, and then you've actually got to fill them. So I think probably I'll just mound it up. And I've got ponies, I've got loads of manure.
Yeah,
I can pile that on as well. So should work, hopefully. Mm. We'll give it a go.
Got some fruit trees on your new plot as well, Ems.
Yeah, but they're very, very old. And one or two, there's one that's fallen, an apple tree that's sort of fallen over, and they didn't fruit very well. It might be that they've gone into biennial bearing, so that they might fruit better next year and didn't fruit very well this year. But I've got plum. There's a plum. I don't know what it might be, a Victoria. That was nice. There were quite a few on the plums on that. But I think I want to plant some more trees this year. That's something else this winter. Be nice to plant some fresh stock.
Yeah, perfect time to do it, isn't it?
Yeah, the winter. So that's the plan for that, and also it'd be quite nice because there's a sort of, you know, reasonable size area. I can perhaps underplant with some other fruit bushes and make a bit more of a forest garden like thing. So make it quite informal. So I might just try that as an experiment.
That's really nice. Yeah.
Yeah. So we'll see. Lots of plans.
Yeah. It's nice having a kind of blank canvas, though, isn't it? More, I mean, I know it's
the structure's there, but you're right, there's still a bit of definitely. Lots to do. I mean, it's quite good having the winter, because winter's good for kind of prep, isn't it? It's good for structure, it's good for getting things planning, getting the structure right, getting it ready. I mean, for example, like the veg patch, again, I'm going to have to put rabbit fencing around it because there's lots of rabbits.
Yeah, I bet. Yeah.
So I think I'm going to put a rabbit fence once I've sorted it out, put a rabbit fence around. That's another thing to do. So I need to get all that done before sort of March time. Mm. So, should be good.
I should be soon be raking all the leaves again, the autumn leaves.
Yeah, started all of a sudden,
comes around this time of year.
Yeah,
everything's turning now, isn't it? Starting to get the autumn colour, so it won't be long before they're falling. But there's a big debate now, isn't there, about whether you should rake them up or whether you should leave them for the wildlife. So, I mean, two minds now, although I do want to get a leaf mould to put in my potting compost, so...
Mm.
I must admit, a couple of years ago, I left some on the border from a hazel that I've got. And I actually found a hedgehog in it. So when I got a bit disturbed, there was a hedgehog sleeping in it. I had to cover him up again quickly. So I suppose there is something in leaving them for wildlife.
Yeah.
Right into the borders as well, I suppose, feeds the borders. But I should be raking a lot of them up to make compost with, I think.
I suppose you could argue that just rake them off paths and things, couldn't you? Or just rake them off certain areas and leave the rest. Or even put piles of them under the hedges so that hedgehogs can get in under them.
Yeah.
So sort of, you almost sort of kind of make creating a bit of a habitat. But I mean, it's like everything in its moderation, I suppose, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Leave some for the wildlife and then have some for yourself, maybe.
Yeah. You have to get them off the lawn, really, don't you? Because
it
kills your lawn. But, yeah.
Mow them up and then you've got them shredded, haven't you?
That's a good idea.
Yeah.
No, I love leaf mould, so I do tend to collect. In fact, I collect everyone else's as well. So if anyone's got any
what,
leaves,
in the neighbourhood, you mean?
Yeah.
That's good stuff, though, isn't it?
Yeah, it's great.
Yeah,
stuff.
It is. Yeah.
You've got to be patient, haven't you, with it?
Yes.
Yeah, that's right.
Leave it for a year or two.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. I've got a relative who lives in a place where they've got lots of street trees, and they go around and get collected. Every now and again, so they bring me bags full of leaves sometimes, so that all goes in the leaf bin. Nothing wasted.
No.
Yes.
Have you got a sort of like a chicken mesh wire
the sort of typical four posts and some chicken wire, but it works really well. It's nothing. Nothing beating it yet.
So do you just have the one and then you just keep piling it on and piling it on every year, and then maybe after a couple of years you just dig out the bottom?
No, I've got the works, me. I've got two.
I've got two
next to each other, you see. One's rotting while the other one, and it's amazing because it's about 4 foot high, I suppose, the netting. And it's, you know, overflowing when I fill it, but by the next year it's only 6 inches perhaps of leaves in the bottom. Well, within a couple of years. Doesn't take long though.
Do you tend to use it after the first year, or do you try and leave it a bit longer?
I mean, I find actually after perhaps even 2 years you can rake down and find just a sort of thin layer of really nice leaf mould.
Crumbly.
So, alternate the bins, and that works quite well. But I suppose if you haven't got all that, you can just put them on the compost, can't you, in smaller amounts, just now and again, some leaves in there.
I haven't got that many leaves really in the garden, so that's why I say I just mow them and put the grass cuttings and the shredded leaves into the compost.
Yeah, it works really well, doesn't it? We got grass clippings, get them rotting down, and really good. So what else have we got? Have you ever tried growing mushrooms? We've got a little bit in the magazine and jobs about growing mushrooms.
I had a kit once.
How did you get on? I've not cracked it, so it's going to be on my Christmas list this year.
It worked well, all right. I think there were oyster ones I had.
They do say they're a good one to start with, don't they? I tried the whole drilling logs thing and the inoculated doweling and all that. But I didn't get it right with the logs. I think they've got to be really fresh, haven't they? So it's probably all right if you know a tree surgeon or something. But mine were a little bit old, and I don't think maybe that was why it didn't work so well. But I noticed we've got a feature coming up on Q's Kitchen Garden, and they're doing a lot more mushrooms in there now. They've just renovated their kitchen garden, and they've got an area for mushrooms, and they're saying it's a good thing to grow under trees and other places where you can't really grow much else. Get some logs and put the doweling in, inoculate them with the you can buy those online, can't you, the doweling that's already got the fungal mycelium in it. Or drill holes and drop grain that's been inoculated with the fungus. To try. So I better give it another go, because it looks like I'm the only one who hasn't been able to really get them started. I must admit, one of my kits that was just ordinary mushrooms, and you had to wet it and then put it in an airing cupboard or somewhere like that, and and let them grow in the dark. And of course, I just forgot. So forgot to keep watering them, forgot they were even there. So by the time I came back, there was like this little cube of dried up compost with must dry harder. Oh. You can grow all sorts now, cut you online, you get all sorts of very fancy ones. So yeah, must give it another go.
I'll have to have a look. I haven't looked for a long time, but they are, you feel quite a sense of achievement, especially with mushrooms when they suddenly appear, because you get these kits, don't you, and you think and then next thing, oh look, proper oyster mushrooms.
Yeah, I'm always a bit nervous because, you need something distinctive like an oyster mushroom, because I always worry about getting other mushrooms in amongst them and wondering what they are and should I eat them.
Starting seeing things.
Yes, yeah. I suppose there's a few other things you can do this time of year, the old hardy salads and things again, just on the windowsill for leaves. If you want a few leaves to pick over the... in the next few months. So yeah. I might be doing that. I've got plenty of old, we say it every year, I know, but it's really worthwhile, isn't it? If you've got any old seed packets, go through them and sow some of them for the windowsill. Have some nice fresh salads into the winter. And we'll do that as well. That's quite a lot to be getting on with, really, I suppose.
Yeah, a few things.
Give the old compost a good turn.
Yes.
Throw all the kitchen waste into it. It's amazing at the end, you know, when you sort of look at the bottom of your compost and, you know, come the spring, you think, oh, I've got all this lovely stuff. And all I've been doing is chucking, you know, kitchen veg waste in there and, you know, a few old pots of compost and a few grass cuttings. The way to go, really, I think, you know.
Ultimate recycling, isn't it?
Yeah.
Well, see, I haven't got any ponies like Emma, so I haven't got an endless supply of manure. So my garden compost is my substitute, really.
I'm sure she could bag a few up for us, Steve.
Oh, you know, yeah, I've got plenty of manure.
Put it in a boot and, you know, we'll lift it out of the boot.
Huge heap.
I'm envious. Already. I'd love a heap.
In fact, I've got a lot of mushrooms growing on it right now, but I wouldn't want to eat them.
Oh, we'll hold you to that. Well, how much for a delivery? Yeah, if you don't mind bringing it round and shoveling it down there as well. Full service.
You have to come and collect, dig it in, put it in your own bags, I think.
Oh, it must be a bit wet at the moment, I should think.
Yeah,
to let it dry up a little bit.
A bit soggy. Everything's a bit soggy at the minute.
Just a bit, yeah.
Well, there's plenty to be going on with there, isn't there?
Yeah, there is.
Yeah.
That's good.
Oh, well, good to chat again, folks. It hasn't stopped raining, so I won't be rushing out just yet. I'm going to wait and give it a little while before I go out there again. Although I have got my greenhouse and the polytunnel to wash. I was no excuse there. I'll be inside and do that. So I might have to just get on with that until it stops raining. Thanks very much for listening, folks. And if you've enjoyed this podcast, then please follow us. Also, let us know what you're doing at this time of year out in the garden. Thanks for joining us.
Deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.